5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
We're going to cause trouble.
Scott Ferrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Ferrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Ferrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out the bad seat, broken day, bad apple with a bad attitude. Hanging around a bunch of bad attitude, bad day, bad lot, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Magic City Studios at the Varela Palacio, right across the river into the woods from where Granny's about to go to bed. But before she did, she hit some of that indica animal face so she'd sleep well and have nightmares in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People trust the plastic bags, ready to travel, some kind of fashion shake it up, should do, but all my friends come around, fast to flood the party up, rats on the west side, bedbugs uptown, what a mess, tons of chatter, my brain splattered all over Manhattan, should do be shack out. Ooh, hey, what's your digging? I'm Ferrell with Carver High tonight. 844-843-6879 is the number to get on the bench. Again, toll free, 844-843-6879. This hour, we got our boy Cold Harp Beer. John Harper of SNY TV in New York is coming on again. Harp, they love him. And then in hour number two, our good friend Felix Taverna out at Mightier 1090 in San Diego near Tijuana. Do you wanna? And we'll talk to him about everything that's going on with Bob Baffert and Medina, the horse that won the Kentucky Derby but failed the post-race drug test. And then ever since then, all hell's broken loose. We'll talk to Felix Taverna about that coming up in hour number two. So Carver High, tonight we found out a couple things happened. Russell Westbrook broke Oscar Robertson's record, and he now has 182 triple-doubles, the most in NBA history. Quite an accomplishment. Unbelievable. Everyone, including Robertson, congratulating Westbrook tonight for his amazing accomplishment. Magic Johnson, think about this. Magic Johnson had 138 career triple-doubles, and Russ Brody Westbrook with 182. That is unbelievable when you think about it. Of course, Robertson had the record at 181. He tied that over the weekend, and then tonight he was minus 410 to get it done, and he did it. No problem. This guy is absolutely a freak of nature. Again, I've said this over and over. I've never shied away from the fact that he plays his ass off every night. I mean, just absolutely no one that can argue with this guy's motor and drive and desire and his, frankly, professionalism and, passion to ball. I mean, this guy, it does not matter where he plays. It doesn't matter who he plays with. It doesn't matter what team he's on. It doesn't matter who his teammates are. It doesn't matter if he's got a cold. This guy balls out every night, no questions asked. And I mean, all out. He goes all out. Fifth gear. I mean, this guy is in five, hauling ass every night, playing all the way to the 10. Welcome, our radio affiliates, Sirius XM Channel 204, Mightier 1090 in San Diego and all of Southern California. Yeah, 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 should do that. And then, of course, Sports Map, Sports Byline, Armed Forces Radio all over the globe. Hoorah, soldier, hoorah. It's Pharrell on a bench with Carver High. The number is 844-843-6879. I mean, this guy, I've never seen anything like it with all of the candy asses. I got to tell you, in the NBA, that take the night off, that go on vacations, like Kyrie Irving. I mean, Kyrie Irving is an incredible basketball player. There's no denying he's unstoppable. That's all fine and dandy. There's also no arguing with the fact that he's a flake. The guy takes off more time than anyone in NBA history for no reason whatsoever. He's got personal problems. He's got, like, personal reasons, personal issues. Now, you know what? What is that when you're making the kind of money that guy makes? I don't understand. You make if you're making a Supermax deal and you never work, you just never, I mean, I don't deny he's brilliant. I don't deny when he plays, he's brilliant. But, I mean, have you ever seen anyone? I mean, how many, Carver, how many times has he taken a week off this year already? Three or four?
At least three or four weeks. At least three or four times he had to take some personal breaks.
So how many times have you ever seen Russell Westbrook take a night off?
Not this year.
I mean, how about never? Year. How about never? When did you ever see that guy not play? He just balls out. The guy shows up every night, ready to go, lock and load. He is 120 miles an hour, straight to the 10. And he just distributes. He rebounds. He runs and guns. He fills it up. People say he can't shoot. He can't shoot. He has a triple-double for the last 5 years every night. Every night. Every single night. You can't shoot. How does that sound? Because he can shoot. He can do whatever he wants. He's a man. All right, so Pharrell on a bench with Carver High. I just am amazed at what the guy's done, Westbrook, seriously. I can't even fathom how he does it every night. Like, he's averaged a triple-double four of the last five seasons. For the season. I'm not talking about for the month, like player of the month or player of the week or some guy gets hot for three games and gets all kinds of accolades on ESPN. Or, you know, I'll be honest with you. I don't deny Steph Curry's brilliance. But, like, I'm watching him right now take on the Jazz out in San Francisco. Or is it Oakland tonight? Can they make their mind up where they play? It looks like they're playing in San Francisco tonight because they don't have the whole Oakland thing going, which is embarrassing. But my point is that guy, you know, he puts on a show every night and hits all these threes, right? And, you know, ESPN just absolutely can't get enough of this guy. They just send him right to us every day, like, you know, overnight delivery. They just show Steph Curry, everything he does, Steph Curry all day. That's all they do. And, you know, when they're not on him, they're on the Lakers. The Lakers are 98% of their programming. I mean, they literally do their programming from literally you could spit from their studio to the Staples. Like, they are so – on their D, it's not even funny, right? Like ESPN is just the, they're a prostitute for the Lakers. That's what they are. And everybody knows it. They know it. They can't even argue it. They can't even argue it. They can't defend it. There's nothing they can do other than just say, you know, Pharrell's right again. It's true. And I hate to be right, but it's true. My point is that they're in the 7 hole and the Warriors are in the 8 hole. I mean, they suck. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. They constantly try to sell me the Warriors. They're on national television every other night. When the Lakers aren't on, it's the Warriors, right? Meanwhile, they never win. Like, I mean, they're in eighth place. I mean, that's like trying to sell me. Today, I heard him talking about this guy Metcalf and his Olympic trial. He finished 15th. And I'm supposed to, and everyone thought it was the most amazing thing ever. It was the most amazing thing ever that they'd ever seen, that he went and tried to qualify for the Olympics in the 100 and finished 15th and ran a 10-3. And I was like, man, I mean, if you finish like second, you lose. If you finish third, you just like, you suck. If you finish fourth or fifth, like you can't even get laid. You finish sixth, you got no friends. Seventh, you can't even, no one will even look at you. Eighth, the ice cream truck don't even stop at your house. Ninth, they start calling you names. Tenth, you're a cheater. 11th, you're on roids. 12th, I mean, you're homeless. 13th, you're a junkie. 14th, you're a freak. 15th, you just absolutely suck ass. 15th, he finished, and they talked about him like he won. He finished 15th. I mean, shut the Pharrell up. Shut up. It's just the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. And they talked about what a great moment it was in track and field. I heard Frank Isola say he'd been to the Olympics twice and he's never seen anything like it. The Olympics and being at the track and field, the greatest human sacrifice. And I'm going, what is he talking about? No one cares about track and field ever. No one. Even people in it don't care. But when you finish 15th, you absolutely, you know, hairdryer city. I mean, honestly, Carver High. And then I got to listen to all this about Steph Curry every night with his eighth place Warriors. The eighth place Warriors. Like, no one's afraid of the Warriors. They're afraid of him. But they still don't win. He has 50 and they don't win. What's the point? I had 36 one night. I lost in a playoff game. You know what my son said? You suck. You have 36 and lose, you suck. It don't matter how many points you have if you lose. You don't matter when you lose. That's just all there is to it. I mean, are we not in the business of winning? Are we not in the business of winning championships and winning rings? That's what it's about, right? Stop talking to me about eighth place teams. Stop talking to me about some guy that finishes 15th. You know what he should do? Stick to football. That's what he's good at. And this isn't shut up and dribble. This is stick to football, bro. You're really good at that. You suck at track and field. 15th place. Honestly, you know what? I mean, Carver, what do you think I would have finished? Like 21st? I mean, if you finish 15th, what are you? 15th. They won't even, the ice cream guy drives right by your house.
Yeah, look, 15th, to give the hoopla of the guy finishing 15th in the time trial, when honestly, I mean, you can't name the guys that finished first and second. You know, it's just enough.
You're right.
Please.
You can't even name the guy that won the race.
No, it's
no one cares.
It really is.
ESPN showed highlights of, for 2 days, they showed highlights of this guy finishing 15th.
Sad.
And I'm just like, what in God's name is happening here? Let me tell you something else that bothers me about that place. I'll just say it because I'm on a roll now. Did you see that Kenny Mayne, they fired him?
I did see that.
Like, I mean, How stupid do you have to be to fire the funniest guy in the history of the network? The guy had the most creative mind and the most brilliant work. That this everything he did turned to gold. The guy did an interview. He could have interviewed a rock and made it the most interesting thing you'd ever heard in your life. He could have interviewed the Clemson Rock and made it the greatest 3 minutes of your life. Am I wrong? The guy was brilliant. He was the best employee they ever had at ESPN. I mean, Kenny Mayne, he blew Chris Berman out of the water. Did he not? Was he not the funniest guy you ever watched do anything? SportsCenter, or they'd send him to do an interview with Marshawn Lynch or something else. Everything he did turned to gold. Did it not? Did it not turn to gold?
It did. He had some extremely funny bits.
Oh, my God. And meanwhile, the people that they shove down our throats on a daily basis on that network, you want to stick a gun in your mouth. I mean, don't get me started on all the people that suck on their network. And then you get rid of it. You fire a guy. He's an institution. That guy was so great. Was he not great? Am I even off base here in saying that? Like, I don't even know. Like, I don't know that chick from Adam, but like this Mina, is that her name? She's on 75 shows a day. They shove her down our throat so bad, I think she's my sister. Like, I can't even keep up with this chick because she's on every single G-damn show they got. Featured, front and center. Like, she's some kind of Harvard whiz or something giving me sports advice. I don't care if it's a guy, a chick, a dog, a cat. All I'm telling you is she can't hold Kenny Mayne's onions. Okay? I don't care how smart you think she is. She sucks compared to that guy. There's no one they got better than him. And they fired him. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I've seen it all now. I have seen it all. Who fires Kenny Mayne? Well, you know what you are? The guy that fired Kenny Mayne, you are a giant male organ of the month club. That's what you are. You're the biggest D in the house. You're a sex toy. So later on the show, I'm going to talk about how much I hate Carver High and his stupid Islanders because they're playing the Penguins in the playoffs, and the Islanders always beat the Penguins in the playoff. My whole life, I have nightmares. I see a shrink over it, the amount
it's
of
on,
times
baby.
The Penguins
Let's go.
Have lost.
Isles, Pens. Let's go.
Can I just wait till later to tell you how much I hate you because I got a guest now? Would that be all right?
Yeah.
All right. It's time for the flowing, just absolutely delicious, flowing herbs and spices of the fresh Harp beer. Your boy Harp is back on the bench in the biggest way possible. John Harper from SNY TV in New York City. Very popular on television and even more popular, is that a word, on the bench and on Coast to Coast. Have we had him on Coast to Coast, Carver High, on the TV side yet? Or is he too busy doing TV stardom stuff over there at the SNY network that's for sale?
I don't believe we've had him on the TV show yet, but we will work on that at some point during this season.
Geez, you'd think we'd get him on the TV after all these years on the radio that, you know, I finally get on TV every day after SNY fired me, and you'd think that, you know, we'd get my favorite baseball analyst on, but no, that's asking too much. And you know what it is? It's this Islander stuff. It's all that, these fascist Islander fans like Carver High refusing to cooperate with me when he knows I want Harper on the show. It just doesn't do it just to spite me. We'll talk about that later, though. John, first let me ask you, what caused Francisco Lindor to beat up Jeff McNeil?
I'm not sure we have proof that's exactly what happened, but it's a pretty good chance it might have been something like that. Lindor was clearly aggravated that, well, first of all, you got to go back to spring training, really. This is the root of this thing.
All right.
Lindor shows up. And his first press conference, he's a well-spoken guy, smart guy, smart player, talking about how he doesn't really care for analytics in the big, I'm not in the big picture, but in certain ways, especially when it comes to overshifts and what he says is kind of taking away the athleticism of players like himself. Basically, he wants room to make the spectacular plays at shortstop. And the Mets had the shift on against a right-handed hitter. I forget who the hitter was. And so McNeil is playing on the shortstop side of second base, and there's a ball to the shortstop side, but sort of between McNeil and Lindor. And like, I think Lindor could have made the play, but he backed off thinking McNeil was going to get it, and McNeil backed off thinking Lindor was going to get it. And it's at least the second time that I've seen this happen. And Lindor was clearly annoyed. He doesn't like it. I think he probably said something to McNeil, like, get the heck out of my way. And I have a feeling that it went from there. We know certainly that it was serious enough, because the only thing you could see actually on the TV was by the time the outfielders came in, Conforto especially, he's about at the dugout, and you see him peek down, and he probably heard something, peeks down into the tunnel where that area was and starts flying down the steps. So clearly it was more than just those guys talking to each other. I think there had to be some, at the very least, some pushing and shoving.
Right. So then they proceeded to make up this story, this horrific lie about rats and raccoons, which is it may be the dumbest thing I've ever heard, but it actually was kind of, at the end of the day, it was so stupid it was actually funny that they, and then they went and did a press conference afterwards and just kept lying through their teeth. But there actually was, it sounds to me like there was actually some action. There might have been some shoving, pushing, maybe a punch or two thrown. Are these two, like, are they, like, not, they're not friends now? Is that the deal? They don't like each other?
Well, they say the day after that, McNeil had a big day, hit a home run, and he's doing his – the problem with – it would be a lot easier to get a feel for this, of course, if we were in the clubhouse, you know, like usual. But everything is right. Zoom. So the next day, McNeil is doing his Zoom press conference after the game, and Lindor walks in unannounced and gives him a big hug and says – and now they call it – they says it was a rat-coon, you know, making fun of the whole thing. And they both laugh. So, you know, everybody says everything is great. So it's just hard to get a feel for it when you're not around the players in the clubhouse. So we'll see. I it did seem to provide a spark. It woke Lindor up, I think, because his head was such a mess as poorly as he's hit. I think he was overthinking everything. So he goes down and they get into that exchange, whatever it was. And his next at bat, the next inning, comes out and hits a big home run. They put them, I think either tie or put him ahead, I forget, in the eighth inning. And it just seemed like maybe it cleared his head, and he was so angry or whatever, and his mood changed. He didn't have time to be over-anxious and overthinking at the plate, just relied on his talent, hit a home run, and he's looked better at the plate since then. And McNeil hit a home run the next day. So, you know, the Mets want to say that in some ways this was kind of a spark for them. We'll see. They still haven't hit a lot. They're in first place mostly because of their pitching. But it will be interesting to see how this plays out between the two of them and whether – the Mets make any kind of adjustments in terms of this shifting so this stuff doesn't keep happening between the two of them.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I mean, I'm not a fan of that. That's just me. I'm not a fan of it. Like, I don't know. In some semblance, it's ruined the game for me over the years. And I love baseball, but the shift has just become so commonplace. It's so... every night, it's so ridiculous that I don't even know what I'm watching anymore. Like in the 70s and 80s and 90s, let's just face it, 2000, this stuff never happened. And then it just started happening. And it's just, and I got to tell you, and I don't know how you feel about it. Like, I'm not a fan of all this. I'm a purist. I'm sitting here in my studio. I got the 1919 White Sox behind me. I got a picture of Clay Buchholz with his gem for the Red Sox behind me. I got a picture of Bill Mazeroski hitting the 1960 home run to beat the Yankees. I got a Hall of Fame picture over here. I like the game, you know, hit, run, bunt, steal, score, advance the runner, hit a home run, hit a gap shot, double, scores two. I'm into baseball. I don't know about all this exit velocity and bat speed and angle and shifting. Yeah. And Oh my God!
Hey, listen, I've come around on this. I think they need to ban the shift. I really do, because so much of the shift contributes to the way there's not enough action in the game now. Just like you said, it's all strikeouts, walks, and home runs because all the hitters, left-handed hitters now, they have to try and hit the ball over the shift because the second baseman for some of these guys plays, you know, 30 yards in the right field and still throws them out.
Right.
You got that hole. You can't hit anything to the right side for a hit anymore unless you hit over the shift and drop one in. So it's really hurt. So that's why this whole launch angle thing, a lot of it has to do with these guys to try to hit the ball out of the park and over the shift. And, some of the people say, well, these guys should learn how to hit the ball the other way, the opposite field, all that. Okay, but they should. But it's clear by now they're not going to do that. And I don't even think teams – or suggesting they should, for the most part, they want them to try and, especially you know the sluggers, to hit the ball over the fence. So, I think for the good of the game, I really think they should ban the shift, make guys be on the dirt and two guys on each side of the infield. It would open up the holes again where guys can get hits, and you'd have a little bit more action. And I think it would really improve the state of the game because some of these games are really hard to watch now. There's way too much in terms of – it's not even the time of games. It's the inaction in games because there's so many walk strikeouts, going full counts, and balls not put in play. That's really a problem for the game right now.
Do you think Theo Epstein is being given the autonomy and power to make the changes that he believes – will make the game more entertaining and exciting? Like he's doing all these experiments in the minor leagues. Do you think he should be given the autonomy to make that change to eliminate the shift? Because you couldn't be more right.
Yeah, I think he's going to have some serious input. I mean, he was pretty outspoken about it when he left the Cubs and basically said that, yeah, I mean, what is good for trying to win isn't necessarily good for the aesthetics of the game. But Manfred is on board with all this stuff. And Manfred is, I think it the fact that he's got Epstein on his side now helps. But it's all going to come down to what they can convince the Players Association to agree on. Because the Players Association is so slow to move and make these changes that that's the issue right now. You can't even get these sides to agree on, you know, whether the sun is out or not, which we saw last summer with everything. So in there, the collective bargaining agreement is up at the end of this year. It's going to be a bloodbath, I think, as far as getting together on a new one. So we'll see. But that's really the issue. Manfred wants to do things. You know, he's wanted to put a pitch clock in to make sure to make pitchers speed up and keep hitters in the box. He's wanted to try some of these things, so he's on board with it. And Epstein can only help, I think, because Epstein is really respected around the game.
So the Mets, obviously, are in first, and you had mentioned their pitching. And obviously, they have been pitching great. But now DeGrom goes on the two-week vacation, which is what I call the DL now. It's vacation. A lot of guys taking vacations all the time. Certainly, you know, same thing in the NBA. This guy Kyrie Irving takes more vacations than Howard Stern. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Nobody ever works for their money anymore. They never work. So DeGrom's going on a Caribbean vacation now. We're going to come back with Harp, and we're going to talk about how I think the Mets pitching is great, but I think the Yankees pitching sucks. We'll get into that on the bench. Trevor Hyde just told me that he's not going to be going to church on Sunday because the Islanders and Penguins series starts, and I just think that's a sinful way to go through life. It's a shame that he doesn't have his priorities in order. I always go to Mass and pray for Carver High's sins and for the Islanders to lose every game they play. We're talking to Harp, legend on the bench from SNY TV, John Harper. He's an institution in baseball, and certainly in New York, he's got more clout than Bill de Blasio. So let me ask you, I think the Mets pitching's phenomenal. I think Jacob DeGrom is basically Nolan Ryan and Tom Seaver in a 2021 like Superman costume. He's rubber. I couldn't even believe he got injured. I couldn't even believe he came out of a game. I couldn't even believe that they put him back in a game. that quickly, to be honest with you. I know he missed a start, and then they put him back out there. He went six. But they have had great pitching. You talked about it before. That's why they're where they are. And it certainly isn't the hitting, which hasn't come around yet. But across town in the Bronx, it's the exact opposite. I think one through six, they're starting to hit. Everybody else is pathetic. So, you know, basically, you know, the last four in the order are pathetic. Let's just take that back. So the first five I'm okay with. But then I think their pitching sucks. I'll be honest with you. Like, Cole pitches great for five or six innings. Then they decide they're going to take him out or whatever, but he gives up a home run or two, maybe to the same guy. He's always given up home runs, in my opinion. But I still think he's brilliant. But I think the rest of them are bums. And every time I turn around, what did I see the other day? This guy Green give up that shot to Altuve. That was like, honestly, it was like having Satan hit a three-run homer. I mean, it was the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. It gave me hives. I got hives on my butt. Like right on my butt cheek, I got hives watching that guy hit that three. Because he's a cheating hack, a liar. He went from being the king of baseball to the – he's a – absolutely, he's the outcast of baseball now. Everyone hates him. And I think they're I like Chapman, but honestly, I think their bullpen and their rotation, frankly, all of it sucks. I can't even figure out how they have 18 wins, to be honest with you.
Scotty, I think a little bit of your bitter Pirate fan is showing, because they've been actually pretty good behind Cole. I mean, Cole has been really good. He's given up a couple home runs, but he's been lights out for the most part. Your boy Tyon has come around a little bit. He's had better starts lately. Kluber's been really good. He matched up with Scherzer the other day and had a pitcher's duel with Scherzer. His last couple, he started off shaky as well, but he's come around. And Herman has been great his last couple. So it's been better than I thought it would. I was kind of with you at the start of the year. I didn't think the pitching would hold up, but it's actually been pretty good. And you're right, Chapman's been unbelievable at the end. It's my best he's looked, really, I think, as a Yankee. So they're getting it done. They are relying a lot on the offense. Stanton is on an unbelievable tear right now, which has kind of surprised me because he's been so bad as a Yankee and unable to stay on the field. But when he gets into these streaks, he looks like the guy who was the MVP for the Marlins a few years ago. I don't know if he can never do it against elite pitching in the playoffs. That's really the issue with the Yankees. But right now he's carrying this team offensively.
Carver, hi. Do you, because you don't believe that their pitching's been good either, but I get it. I won't deny that he's right. Our boy Jameson Shots at Tyon has been a little better. And Corey Kluber, I'm just waiting for his arm to fall off. And then Herman, at least his teammates don't hate him anymore. I'll give you that. And then the relievers that they have, Carver High, that the ones that no one's ever heard of before, you know, that bunch. Their bullpen with all the hacks that no one's ever heard of. I don't think they're doing a great job. I guess Montgomery, I don't know. I can't get into him. Litke, Green. I like Loaizaga. I'll give you that. Sessa. You know, what do you think, Carver? I tell Harp the truth. Don't lie to me now.
No, I'm not lying. I think that after Chapman and Green and Britton, when he's there, I mean, they do got a lot of hacks down there. They do. And some of them have pitched okay so far, but I just don't think they're guys that are going to get outs in a big spot. But even though these guys have pitched better, Harp's right, it's going to come down to the same thing it always comes down to. In October, this same core group of guys never gets hits in the playoffs. They just don't. And they have no left-handed hitters, Harp. I mean, they got no – when they lost Didi, they never replaced him. It's not like Didi was Mickey Mantle. But, geez, I mean, can we get somebody who's lefty to hit at Yankee Stadium? It's like Cashman refuses to do it.
Yeah, we want Didi and Boone back, Harp. We want Didi and Joe Girardi back, Harp. We don't like Boone. Yeah. We'd rather have Girardi and Didi back.
Yeah, I can understand that. Listen, the left-handed thing is an issue. They had Brett Gardner hitting third earlier this year. They got Hicks batting third because they're trying to get a lefty to break up their righties. But Cashman has gone. He says these right-handed hitters can hit right-handed pitching and take advantage of the right field porch. And you see it at times with Judge and Stanton, but not often enough. And you're right, Mike or Carver High, however, whatever you want to call you.
Carver High, Mike, they both were.
we obsess about the pitching, usually. I mean, Yankee fans obsess about the pitching, but it's really been the lack of timely hitting in October that's cost them the last few years. I mean, that's what they don't get done in October, and that goes back to LeMahieu is the only guy that gets – he's the only guy that's really that true two-strike hitter and gets a big hit in that spot. And that could end up being an issue again for them. So, you know, Cashman's all in on this group, and if they don't do it this year, I doubt they'll break it up in some way.
So I was on today in San Diego with a guy that's an L.A. guy, and I talked to him about the Yankees' reception of the Astros in the Bronx, and I said that I feel that on August 3rd, when they go to Chavez Ravine, it's going to be worse than the Bronx. First of all, they're at around 70% capacity already, and they're going to have, I think by August 3rd, 100% capacity at Dodger Stadium. And I think they are going to abuse the Astros like they have. I don't even think they'll be safe. I literally, and I mean that, I do not believe they'll be safe in that ballpark at all. I think there's going to be stuff flying through the air. And I'm not just talking about Spanish cuss words either. I'm talking about they're going to throw things. Those people are nuts. And don't even tell me they're not. I mean, they stab people in the parking lot to death. I mean, they don't mess around there. That is like a gangland. I mean, you go to a game there, you run for your life just to get to your car. I mean, that's just all there is to it. No one wants to hear it, but it's true. It's true. Ask Brian Stowe how he's doing. You know what I mean? Like, so how do you think they're going to treat the Astros at Chavez Ravine compared to the great job that 10,000 did in the Bronx? You know, that was all that was allowed in the stadium, but I thought they did a hell of a job.
Yeah, that was really loud for 10,000. I mean, it could have been a full house. Well, I remember when the Astros, they had that 2017 LCS. That was the loudest I ever heard Yankee Stadium. They fell behind 2-0 in the series, come to Yankee Stadium. It was so loud there. The Astros were clearly rattled even then. That was before anybody knew about the cheating thing. They played poorly in those three games, and then went home and won the series. So Yankee Stadium has an effect. I mean, LA, I've been out in L.A. when it can get loud out there. I mean, you know, everybody had – yeah, you're right. I mean, everybody kind of thinks of L.A. as a laid-back crowd, but I've seen it when it gets loud. And I would think they're going to be ready to go after the Astros because people have waited a long time to have their say against these guys. And you're seeing it in every ballpark they go to, fans bring signs and everything else. So, and the Dodgers, you know, they think that that cost them a world championship in, what, 18, I guess it was. So
17.
They're going to, you know, yeah, I would think, was it 17? Yeah, that's right, after they beat the Yankees. I mean, I don't want to. I just hope they don't throw anything, but people have every right to boo and say and yell and do whatever they want to go after these guys vocally because they deserve it.
What do you think of? I'm going to see the Padres and Rockies on my birthday, July 29th. I'm literally, we're buying an entire row of seats. I'm going with like 12 people. And we're buying an entire row of seats. I'm going to eat like 12 Padre hats filled with ice cream with sprinkles. It's all happening. It's all evolving. We're going to go see the worst team in baseball take on one of the best teams. We're going to go watch Tatis. What do you think of the fact that the Padres are the ones chasing the Giants and the Dodgers are the ones that have lost 15 of 20 and 5 straight series? Can you even believe how it's shaping up?
I can't. I'm shocked at Dodgers. I thought they were too deep. The pitcher was too good to call in this kind of a streak. I mean, it looked like they were going to run away early. And, they haven't really hit. I know they missed Bellinger, but they're just too deep to be playing like this. And the pitching should be too good. I know Kershaw got beat up a little bit in Chicago last week, but I can't figure it out. And I'm shocked by the Giants. You know, they're the oldest team in baseball. And they're figuring it out. They're playing really well, and the pitching's been better than expected. It makes it interesting because, as you know, we talked about the last time, I'm all in on the Padres, so I'm waiting for them to get it going. They played great against the Dodgers, but since then they've been really inconsistent in every phase of the game, it seems like. So I got to believe they'll pick it up. But I think that's the most interesting division in baseball for me. More so, everybody thought the NL East was going to be this great, highly competitive division, and really, nobody's really done much. Teams have really flawed. The Braves have surprised me how poorly they've played. But the NL West is really a division that looks like it's going to be a lot of fun this year.
Do you think Girardi's doing a good job with the Phillies?
Well, I'll tell you, they played one of the worst games I ever saw, that Sunday night game against the Mets a week or so ago. Their defense is really bad. But you know what? He had the worst bullpen in baseball, a historically bad bullpen last year. It started off better this year, but they've had problems lately again. And, you know, there's nothing that can make a manager look worse than a bad bullpen because every decision he makes backfires on him. Girardi knows how to manage. We saw that in New York and with the Yankees. So I can't put it on him. I just think this Phillies team, they can hit a little bit. They got some offense. The pitching's been pretty good. The starting pitcher with Wheeler and Nola and Elfin. But the defense at times, it looks like some of those guys have never played the game. That's a problem. And inconsistent bullpen, again, is an issue. It's nothing killing the team more than a bad bullpen.
Do you think that do you remember back in the day when, like, Cobra and all the players got the greenies and they were popping uppers to play the game, and they were having their couple of greenies, and then they'd have a couple cups of Joe, they'd go out and play all lit. Do you think Tony La Russa still has contacts from the 70s that can get him some of those greenies so that he doesn't fall asleep in the dugout? Because we play Tony La Russa clips on my TV show every day just to see what he's going to say next, because he seems so out of it. It's just so awesome that he's actually managing at 102. We're thrilled for him. I have 30 seconds. Do you think he can get some greenies to stay awake?
I'm not sure that's the answer, but he did look good when he didn't know the rule as far as starting to run around second base. You could run for the pitchers there. So, yeah, Tony's he's got a ways to go. I still think he can manage, though. He knows the game. You're right, though. He doesn't look good in those post-game press conferences.
I have to say, just lastly here, Harp, I don't believe in rules and such. So knowing the rules and believing in rules is not one of my fortes. I don't do well with rules. We love you, Harp. Great job. We'll get you on again soon, hopefully sooner than later. All the best, brother.
Thanks, Scotty. Good talking to you.
My man. All right, so Carver High, I haven't talked to you since, Stanton has just been going off. You got to admit, because we gave him the business early because he never played. He was always injured. He's been injured ever since he's been a Yankee. He's been injured. Yep. I mean, the guy's been injured a ton. You can't even argue it. But, boy, is this guy, when he's locked in, I mean, he has been just destroying the baseball.
No, there's no doubt. And it's kind of like the same thing that I said to you a week ago. Remember how Judge destroyed the Tigers 2 weekends ago? Like, he was just hitting the ball over. And I either texted you or I told you Monday on Coast to Coast. I was like, it's amazing because the 60 games that Judge actually plays, like, he's a super productive player who's one of the best in the league. Like, that's how good he is. And you could say the same thing about Stanton. Like, this past week to 10 days, when you see him on this kind of roll, It just shows you how sad it is that this guy, if he actually played an entire 150, 155 games, the kind of numbers he could put up. And the 1 year that he did, he won the MVP in Florida. Like, it just shows you what a monster he is. But the problem is you're just always waiting for the other shoe to drop. You know that the dude's going to pull up and grab his lat, you know, at any moment when he's running to first base. You know, that's the thing. But ride the hot hand while it's going. He's killing it right now.
You know, he when he did that in Florida, he actually played every day, which was weird because I think if he played every day in the Bronx, he'd get injured way more than he does. I think that, the longer he's out there, the more he's running and, you know, chasing balls and stuff like that, diving, whatever, he's bound to get injured. I think sitting on your ass being a DH and, you know, chewing bubble gum and maybe, you know, hitting a little sniffer, like a little, have a little shot in the dugout. Not the worst thing I've ever seen. I want to see the guy sit on his ass and DH and just swing the bat because he's a monster. We got a lot going on here tonight.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights.
Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.